Could we turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 5, please, and reading from verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by boat unto the other side, many people gathered unto him, and he was near unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and many people followed him, and crowded him. And a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the crowd behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be well. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body, that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned about in the crowd, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude crowding thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy flesh hath made thee well. Go in peace, and be well of thy plague. While he yet spoke there, came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain who said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he permitted no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and those who wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The child is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the child, and those who were with him, and entering where the child was lying. And he took the child by the hand and said unto her, Talitha cumni, which has been interpreted, Little girl, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the child arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Amen. We continue our look at Mark's Gospel, and in particular, chapter 5. It's been a few weeks since we last looked at it. And at last visit, we saw Jesus and his disciples preparing to depart from the land of the Gadarenes, having set free, if you remember, the man who was possessed by demons. The citizens of the Gadarene had heard of the power of Jesus, and they came and they saw the effect of that power in the man being set free. But yet, they failed to appreciate who Jesus is. Even the demons recognized him as the Son of God. They may not have acknowledged him, but they knew who he was. And in their failure to do so, they failed to appreciate that in the salvation of the man, they had witnessed the grace, the mercy, and the power of the Son of God. Instead of acknowledging Jesus and making him welcome, they pleaded with him to depart. Their interest was the loss of their financial sustenance, if you like, because of the swines that were drunk. Rather than giving joy to the Lord for saving or setting free the man, they pleaded with him to depart from their presence. As a result of their failure, the Son of God took their request and prepared to depart. In his departure, they also missed out on the blessings that Jesus desires to give to those who come to him and are willing to worship him. I wonder if sometimes we also miss out on blessings from the Lord because we fail to appreciate him and our focus is not on him, but on the things around us in our lives. As I mentioned last time, I've given the chapter the title the power of Jesus. We've witnessed that power, or the effect of it, in the demons being got rid of. In verses 21 to 33, we will witness his power over illness and death. It is interesting, or I thought so anyway, that in these verses, though they're two separate stories, they are intertwined. And again, as we go through, I hope that you will see how they're intertwined. So, verses 21 to 24, the daughter of Jairus. Jesus and his disciples departed from the land of the Gadarenes. They set sail back to Capernaum, where they had very recently departed from. And we read that much people gathered on the shore. It seems strange when you first read that, because Jesus had departed to the land of the Gadarenes. They had no idea when he was going to return. But at least some of the people decided to camp on the seashore to wait for his return. As Jonathan pointed out last week, Capernaum was his home. So they were pretty sure that one day he was going to come back. But they didn't know when he was going to come back. But they were willing to camp by the seashore and wait for him to return. Camp there so that they did not miss the opportunity of being in his presence again. Today we know that Jesus has crossed over to the other side. And we have his promise that one day he will return, though we do not know when. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42 we read, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord will come." Are we waiting? Are we watching? And are we doing so with excitement so that we will be ready when our Savior returns? Amongst the people gathered, we read, was a ruler of the synagogue whose name was Jairus. The ruler of the synagogue was one of the most important people in the Jewish community. Some of the leaders considered Jesus' teaching was not according to the law. And again, some of them even considered what he was preaching was blasphemous. Not so Jairus. He recognized Jesus for who he was, the Son of God Almighty. With the ruler amongst us, of the synagogue, amongst the people gathered, no doubt, if you can imagine like a superstar, everybody will gather in a room to hear what the ruler had to say as they waited on the seashore. However, with the news that Jesus was back on his way, again, you can imagine the crowd parting so that Jairus, you know, could see the boat coming in and the way for him to go forward to meet Jesus. There may have been some of them who knew of the opposition between the leaders and was interesting to know what conversation will take place between Jairus and Jesus. Others were just polite to let a very important person go through to meet Jesus. When Jesus eventually arrives on the shore, we read that when Jairus saw him, he fell at his feet and worshipped him. This very important person, his dignity forgotten, he was one of the leaders in the community. He fell down before Jesus and worshipped him. And he besought Jesus greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she live." A request of faith, or prayer of faith. He trusted Jesus was able to heal his daughter. A couple of things worth noting. First of all, Jairus' daughter was 12 years old. According to Jewish custom, she was on the verge of womanhood. A young woman entered womanhood on her 12th birthday and the day. And as you could imagine, in a Jewish family, that would have been something of great celebration that their daughter had attained to womanhood. And here is Jairus, his daughter is 12 years old, but she was lying at the point of death. And so he must have been very sad as he went to Jesus with a hope that Jesus could do something about it. Second, Do we see in Jairus' situation parallel in our own lives? What do I mean by that? Well, we may have a belief, not necessarily wrong, about how God should act or answer our prayers. However, his ways is not always our ways. We recognize and acknowledge that with Jesus, the Son of God, all things are possible. However, do we try to limit or manage his actions based on our knowledge, our experience, or our expectation? Jairus may have seen or heard of Jesus healing others who were ill. We have two instances of healing in the synagogue. In Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28, we saw Jesus casting out unclean spirits. And in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, we have him healing a man with a withered hand. So based on that knowledge, he believed that Jesus could heal his daughter. But notice, he also believed that Jesus was required to go and lay his hands on her to be healed. Jesus did not contradict or criticize Jairus, but set out with him and headed for his home. As it became the norm where Jesus went, much people followed and crowded him. Verses 25 to 34, we're introduced to the ill woman. Amongst the multitude that followed and crowded Jesus was a woman who had been suffering from a chronic disease for 12 years, which was incurable at that time, a case of severe hemorrhaging. We all agree that suffering from any illness is not pleasant, but suffering for 12 years must have been very unpleasant. We also read that added to the period of suffering, she suffered many things from the physicians. Apparently in those days, because it was an incurable disease, there were many physicians who came up with ideas that they could cure the disease. And we read that the woman was so desperate to be cured that she spent everything she had, no doubt trying these different remedies in order to be healed. But rather than being healed, as a saying goes, she was made worse, adding salt to injury. Nothing was better, but rather grew worse. If we put ourselves in that woman's position, what an awful situation to be in. Similar in a way by the man possessed with demons. Both were ill, but no one could help. Sadly, in the world today, there are many who are in a similar situation. They have their own personal demons, or they're suffering from an incurable problem. And though they seek help, there's none that is able to help. We saw in the case of the man possessed by demons, Jesus was able to help. Jesus has the power and is willing to heal those who are ill, recognize they are ill, and come to him. I mentioned earlier that the crowd would have been parted for Jairus, an important public figure. It would have been an opposite for the woman who was ill. Because of her illness, she would have preferred to be invisible. She, having heard of or seen the power of Jesus by faith, maneuvered herself through the multitude until she was behind Jesus and touched his garment. She believed that all she needed to do was to just touch his garments and she would be made whole. What faith? Just believing that by touching the coat of Jesus, she would be healed. I mentioned earlier that those who truly desire to be close to Jesus would ensure that their desire is fulfilled at any cost. The woman was suffering from an embarrassing illness, which according to the law, and you can read about it in Leviticus 15, 25 to verse 27, designated her as being unclean. To go in a crowd and state that she was suffering from this illness was not acceptable. However, she decided to touch Jesus' garment in secret, believing that by faith, if she just touched the garment, she would be healed, and she was determined to be healed. She acknowledged she was ill, and she believed that Jesus could make her well. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will come in and sup with him." Yet many people will only come to him when in a desperate situation, a last resort. But the loving, merciful Savior does not send away empty-handed those who come to him in faith. In seeking to fulfill her desire, the woman was putting anyone who she touched or who touched her in an embarrassing situation. Someone with her illness was not allowed to mix with anybody who was not ill. If she touched them or they touch her, that person will be labeled or classed as unclean. Again, you can read about that in Leviticus 15:25-27. Therefore, to deliberately touch someone's garment who was not ill was a no-no. I said earlier that God does not always act as we expect or believe in the case of the ill woman. What she believed by faith became a reality. She believed and her faith was rewarded. Straight away, the fountain of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. We read that Jesus knew immediately within himself that power had gone out. He turned and said, "Who touched my clothes?" It's worth remembering that nothing happens without Jesus' knowledge. Some of his power had gone out to heal the woman. The woman, as I said, hoped her action might be a notice amongst the crowd. By asking the question, Jesus was giving the lady an opportunity to acknowledge the power of Jesus and her faith in him, to say what great things had been done for her. But he was also establishing a link with, I'd say for now, the individual, a relationship with the person who had touched him. Do we recognize and acknowledge the power of Jesus? Are we willing to show our faith by stepping out in faith? The woman had faith. She stepped out in faith, and her faith was rewarded. The disciples' reaction was quite human. They said to him, "Thou seest the multitude crowding you, and sayest thou, who touched me?" There is a difference between those who just passed by and touched his clothes, and the difference between the woman who touched him by faith. Many crowded him, but only one touched him in faith. The disciples, as we are sometimes, not fully aware of the cost, and therefore fully appreciative of our actions on Jesus. We know he gave his life so that we might have new life. But do we fully appreciate our daily walk, what effect we have as believers on him? He gave his life to set us free. Whatever we are struggling with in our life, and however long it is going on, like this woman, if we are suffering, we need to reach out for Jesus to help. He is willing and he is able. Jesus knew exactly who had experienced his power. He looked around about to see not a crowd, but if you look in your Bibles, it says he looked at her that had done this thing. Confirms that Jesus knew exactly what had taken place and the recipient of his power. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done and what was done in her, fear and trembling. Remember I said that to touch someone who wasn't ill was not acceptable. She came and fell down before Jesus and told him all the truth. She confessed what she had done. She had been healed. What a relief. No longer doomed to wander alone, as the man with demons wandered around alone. However, she was not sure of Jesus' reaction, having touched his clothes. she need not have worried. For we read, Jesus did not condemn or criticize her. He said to her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be thou whole of thy plague. I said earlier that when Jesus asked a question about who touched his clothes, he was establishing a connection or relationship with the woman. You see, Jesus calls her daughter. What a word of comfort and assurance for that lady. After 12 years of suffering, probably wandering alone, she was called daughter by the Son of God. When we by faith accept that Jesus died so that we might be free from the penalty of our sins, we are transported immediately from death, the penalty of our sins, to eternal life, the result of Christ's sacrifice. From enemies of God to children of God. We have the comfort and the assurance of that woman that our years of suffering are over and is our hearts filled with the peace of God. Verses 35 to 43, Jesus' power over death. Whilst Jesus was still speaking to the woman who had the good news of being healed, bad news came from the home of Jairus. As he waited, his faith must have been tested. He must have felt frustrated of the delay of Jesus going to see his daughter. And then the bad news arrived that his daughter is dead and there's no need to trouble Jesus anymore. However, we read, Jesus, knowing our hearts and emotion, as soon as he heard the message, said to Jairus, Be not afraid, only believe. Jesus was not fazed by the news that the girl was dead. I said earlier that Jesus knows everything that takes place. He also knew what lay ahead. Similar words were spoken to the disciples in the boat during the storm. A challenge for Jairus. He had faith that Jesus could heal his daughter. He'd either seen or heard him heal other people. But now, his daughter was dead. A slightly different situation. Talk of death tends to be a conversation killer. However, it is a reality. In Hebrews 9, and verse 27, we read, It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Being a leader of the synagogue did not keep death from the house of Jairus. On the positive side, as I said earlier, the death of Jairus' daughter did not faze Jesus. Jesus immediately offered words of cheer and encouragement to Jairus. His faith, possibly strengthened by those words, they set off for his home. Normally we've seen so far that Jesus did not restrict the crowds that followed him. But here we read that they were restricted, possibly because it was a personal matter involving a family. On his arrival at the home, there was a gathering of mourners, probably consisting of family, friends, and professional mourners. They were weeping and wailing loudly, as was a Jewish custom. Immediately death had occurred. A loud wailing was set up that all might know death had struck. The Jewish customs, if you wish to read about him, are quite detailed and very involved. They are designed to stress the finality of death, the complete opposite to the victorious hope of the Christian faith. Jesus, having entered the house, said to the mourners, Why make you this commotion and weep? The damsel is not dead, she only sleeps. Imagine the skeptics of the mourners. We read they laughed him to scorn. My words, who does he think he is? What does he know? What is he talking about? But in Luke's Gospel, we read that the girl was indeed dead because her spirit came again and she arose straight away. We read that Jesus then put them out, possibly because of their unbelief. And when they were all out, he took the mother and the father of the girl and those with him and entered the room where the girl was lying. Taking the hand of the girl, he said unto her, Talitha kumni, which is being interpreted, little girl, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose. And read again and reminded of, because she was age 12, from weeping and mourning to rejoicing, from death to life. Hardly surprising that we read, they were astonished with great astonishment. I mentioned earlier about the custom among the Jewish nation regarding a young woman reaching the age of 12. I imagine there must have been great celebration. Not only the fact that she'd been restored to life, but that she will be able to attain to womanhood. The family could look forward to the day ahead with great rejoicing. By the power of Jesus, we can be transformed from the power of death to an eternal life, enabling us to walk in newness of life as we look forward to the day when we shall attain to spiritual maturity. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it. Why? Possibly because he wanted them to have a time of peace and privacy. Because once the news came out that the girl had been raised from the dead, there would be onlookers wanting to see this miracle that had taken place. Not in scripture, but he commanded that something should be given to her to eat, or a spiritual and physical need fully met. At the start, I mentioned that we have two stories entwined in these verses. It could be said that there are at least two reasons. First, and most importantly, is that the power of Jesus was instrumental in both stories. Second, the number 12. The girl had lived 12 years of her life, possibly, we assume, in relative comfort and happiness. But we read, during that same period of 12 years, the woman experienced continual suffering. The girl died after living for 12 years. The woman could be described, and excuse the expression of something I picked up from the television, the living dead person for the same period of 12 years, because basically she was wandering on her own. Nobody was allowed to come near to her. By the power of Jesus, the woman was restored to fullness of life, and the girl to resurrection of life. Today, we too can experience the power of Jesus, restoring us to the fullness of life, what God intended us to be, if not physical, certainly spiritual, in anticipation of the resurrection of life, should we be called home before Christ returns. Jesus has power and authority over all things, over the powers of the universe, over hell, over death. Those who have put their trust in him need not be afraid. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 we read, Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Amen.